We're back.
We are back. Welcome.
All right. This is the Stoked Podcast.
Yes.
I'm Nick.
Mikkel.
And I'm Todd.
We got a real good episode now that Brian's gone.
Yeah. Finally.
Get the jab in right away, right?
Yeah.
Spare no time. No, seriously, we're all happy that he's gone. And kidding.
No, he's a great devil's advocate for me.
No one here to argue with you now.
Yeah.
Well, I know we were going to talk about Israel, which I know nothing about. And I knew I would get a good education today, so I didn't even dare look into it. So what's happening? Educate me, enlighten me. Something bad's happening. There's some war over there, right?
Well, what was it, like Saturday over the weekend? What would that have been?
I don't know.
October. Saturday.
I don't even know what today is.
What is today?
The ninth. Today is the ninth today, so right? In the eighth or the seventh.
Seventh, yeah. I don't know what it is over there at that time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, apparently Muslim extremists, Hamas-backed fighters or something supposedly snuck their way in through Israeli defenses, and not defenses, like fences and stuff like that, like basic stuff, right? So it was just like almost like a sneaky walk-in. So not just only like rocket fire barrages, which, I mean, that happens like every year or something. There's something's flying over Gaza like all the time, right? That's just kind of how it is over there. But this is like even more, apparently. So people, they're sneaking in there, killing lots of people. What they're saying, you know, raping, pillaging, destroying, burning. It's all kinds of stuff. So
sounds like the LA type riots.
Yeah, and it's a typical day in, you know, California. But
California.
Except the rocket barrages, I guess. But, you know, yeah, it's, I guess, a pretty solemn day, still a solemn time over there in Israel at this point. So that's all the news that I really heard about it.
What? So, Todd, you might be able to answer this, or maybe we don't have an answer. But I was unable to answer. Someone was asking me, or we were talking about what the whole, not the hullabaloo, but like the, there's always conflict in the Middle East and fighting over land.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about? What, like, I
so
know
yeah, it's interesting. I, you know, we had a lot of good discussions last night at home church about what was really going on, and it kind of all, it, you know, I would echo what Mikkel said, that, you know, it, they're raping young, you know, girls, they're killing people, they're going door to door, just terrorizing. And it really doesn't make a lot of sense. And what really doesn't make sense, I'll get to what we were what we were talking about. What really doesn't make a lot of sense is, like, how did they get in there and how did they do this? And where's the Israeli defense? You know, this just has all the earmarks of a false flag, like a staged kind of, you know, a funded group of terrorists that were coming in to create stuff for the news cycle. And to drum up, you know, to drum up division through the, you know, the West, which largely is going to support Israel, and you know, the Palestinians, who might be, you know, supported by, you know, the other side of the world. And so there's this two-sided division that they created, and it's like the typical Hegelian method, right? Where it's like problem, reaction, solution. They kind of coordinate this chaos to create, you know, a reaction out of people, and then they provide the solution to the problem. And anyway, so what people are thinking, in a sense, conspiracy theorists like me and other people, is this just another baiting, people to overreact, to respond emotionally, to be outraged and to want to go in and kill. I mean, we all felt like, we all can probably remember a little bit of what it felt like at 9/11 when we saw buildings on fire, right? Well, with the Christian church so indoctrinated into this mindset that the Jews are the chosen people of God, and so I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, the indoctrination we've all been in, you know, inundated with as Christians in a Western country is that you support Israel bar none. Like, it doesn't matter what they do, what they say, you never oppose Israel because supposedly the wrath of God is going to fall on you or your country if you don't. So if you're not allied with Israel, you're against God. Obviously, you can hear in my voice, I do not align with that whatsoever. It's not, you know, you can trace some of those biblical promises back to Abraham, and yeah, it's in the Bible, but you know, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of who Israel is and what Christ did. You know, I mean, we all know that there's neither Jew nor Greek anymore. There's neither slave nor free. But, you know, like, we know that, and yet we make this exception within Christian theology that says we've got to just blanket support anything with Israel, or we're going to be incurring God's wrath, or we'll be out of the favor of God, which is actually pretty pathetic because God didn't even support Israel. You know, when Israel was bad, he removed himself from Israel. And all throughout the Old Testament, you know, the fate of Israel really depended on the heart of the people of Israel. And when they had a good king, or when they had a good high priest, you know, that was close with God and was leading the people of God, things went well. But I mean, anyway, kind of rambling, but it just has all the earmarks of like a false flag. Like these are nothing more than just probably, you know, paid agitators like Antifa, but it's over there in the Middle East, right?
Yeah, when they got bussed in with their signs and they were right. All...
Oh, there's a pallet of bricks over here, and right. There's, you know, there's just all this...
Conveniently.
In yeah, front of the, all these buses unloading people wearing masks and, right. You know, yeah, who are these people? But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people, including... not Rand Paul, but Ron Paul, who have, I mean, go way back. There are videos explaining how the United States really built Hamas. They funded Hamas. They created Hamas for these political purposes, like for this. And I tend to believe that. I tend to believe that this is nothing more than the military industrial complex at its finest. It's got all the marks of what it's going to do. And the Christian church is so dependent on its theology and its pastors and what they're going to say on stage that they actually have very little ability to think about anything regarding the Middle East outside of what their pastor is saying on stage.
Like, do you know... I mean, I know this was super recent, so unlikely, but have you heard any, like, what the Christian, mainstream Christian churches are, like, their stance on this?
Oh, dude. So I'll tell you this. You know, we listen to Pastor Locke, mm-hmm. right? And he can be a little hot-headed sometimes when it comes to stuff. But, you know, my opinion about Israel differs very differently from Pastor Locke's. Pastor Locke has a mainstream understanding of Israel. I believe that the branch of Israel went through Jesus Christ, that the Christian church was founded on the 12 apostles who were all Jews. It was founded on Jesus, obviously, but then the 12 apostles, and then the nation of Israel. It really wasn't until Paul came into the picture and persecution happened in Jerusalem that kicked people out of, you know, their regions, and God was opening the doors to the Gentile nations. But the Christian church is founded and rooted in the Jews of the days of, you know, that Jesus came. So Israel, the Israel of God, Israel, the Jews, followed Jesus, and we as Gentiles got grafted into Christ, mm-hmm. not into Judaism.
Right.
We got grafted into Christ, who was the door. So my understanding of anything in regards to Israel and the New Testament and the end times has everything to do with what I would probably just create the word spiritual Israel, where, you know, at the foot of the cross, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no, he is not a respecter of persons. Your genetics don't matter unless you're a hybrid, unless you're, you know, a Nephilim, like unless you're the offspring of some, you know, fallen demonic being. Like if you were an image bearer of God, it doesn't matter what your DNA is,
right?
You know, So anyway, that's so fundamental with how we respond, because Pastor, I mean, I told Marianne, if he has another round, another week of services like this, I'm out. I'll ditch him. I'll throw him to the curb like I have.
Todd has a habit. This is a habit.
Oh yeah. I mean, it all circles around Israel, like just the blanket support of Israel. Like they don't make it, you know, like I said, the Christians are in fear. They feel like their connection of God, with God somehow goes through, like Israel. I don't know why, but you talk to the average Christian about this, and they will look at you like you're an apostate. They will like, what? You can't say that about the nation state of Israel. You can't say that about Zionist Israel. It is, you know, like... You political Zionism rules the Christian church, and as long as they're going to be dragged along with that, they will fall in line with the New World Order, because the New World Order uses the nation state of Israel to bring in, you know, what everybody believes is going to be the end times. And I personally don't, but they're all going to fall for it, and you have to be bold enough and brave enough to say, hey. You know, I'm not going to be baited into a war because the military-industrial complex decides that they need a new war because Ukraine and Russia is drying up. It was a huge failure and a huge flop, and you know they need some other stuff to basically create chaos all throughout this election season. I think it might be plan A or B of their contingency plans, because I don't think that they're going to get us to fall for another pandemic. I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about that. But there's all these contingency plans that I think are in line for the chaos that's coming over the next course of the year. So anyway, I'm rambling, but I'm trying to get this information out. So here's what they say. The conspiracy theorists believe that, you know, they have let all these sleeper cell, you know, Palestinians through our borders and sent them into strategic places all throughout the United States. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to create tension over there and outrage. And so when the United States says we're going to stand with Israel and we fund them, we send aircraft carriers over there, we send weapons over there, we fund billions of dollars to aid them in this war. And then this Hamas sleeper cells are going to be like, no, you're not going to go, you know, blow up my countrymen. We're going to bring war to the United States, and we're going to do what we're doing, what we showed you we can do in Israel. We're going to bring it here. And, you know, you have other people that are saying that, you know, they're, you know, Don Jr., you know, tweeted something about, hey guys, we have Second Amendment rights for a reason. Like, there's all this, and I'm not even buying into that stuff. I'm just saying, I don't know what's happening, but this is what the conspiracy theorists are saying, that this is all just a staged way of creating chaos here in the United States, because they, you know, they do.
We did say something was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is this, but when I watched Pastor Locke pathetically, you know, say, basically, I mean, you should listen to it. It's probably some of the most awful things I've ever heard from that from a pulpit. He basically said to the Palestinians, they're Philistines, go blow them up, go kill them, go starve them out, take their land. They don't deserve it. It's not theirs. And to be totally honest, like, there was a lot of clapping and a lot of hooping and hollering in that, congregation. And for me, I'm just like, so what you believe is that every one of those false flag Antifa-esque, you know, Hamas agents who were let into country, how did they get in? Where's the Israeli defense? Why is there no police? How did they get in to be able to do that if they weren't let in?
Right.
If this wasn't another false flag, right? You got to ask those basic questions. So
the driver of the truck, I bet he had like a really good mustache, maybe.
Gosh, yeah. It's like we've got our pastor, you know, saying, hey, you know, they need to be starved out of their land. They need to make the Gaza Strip a parking lot. They need to make them desolate. And, you know, there are good people in Pakistan or in Palestine. There are good people outside of Israel. Not every one of them has got a rocket launcher in their, you know, living room ready to shoot over the wall of Israel. You know, you got Christians in Palestine. You have peaceful Muslims in Palestine. And you've got this rogue radical group that was actually probably funded and coordinated like Al-Qaeda, you know, was nothing. I feel like Al-Qaeda was nothing more than just another
front
military, you know, military psyop.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that's to me what's happening. That's what I feel is happening. And I don't know nothing. Like, I'm just being serious. All I know is that I could read the reactions and I can see the news headlines, and it's just all fear mongering, and it's coordinated for a reason. And I can't believe that Greg Locke is stupid enough to actually take the bait like that. It's like, dude, you know that 9/11's, he knows that 9/11, he called COVID, you know, didn't fall for that BS, right? Mm-hmm. You know, didn't align, you know, probably doesn't believe that we went to the moon. But yet you're going to jump online after 2 days before the dust is even settled in this incident, and you just got jerked around the way they wanted you to. Yeah. And now you're spewing all this hate from the stage representing right. Jesus Christ to your congregants.
That sounds eerily similar to the BLM, that when they blacked out the little profile icons.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever his face is, that I won't remember his name.
George Floyd.
Now, I'm going to have to bleep that out. But yeah. So oh, that. And
sorry, man. I didn't want to trigger you.
No. It's like, yeah, a day later, it's like, okay. What do we call it when you're virtue signaling.
Oh, my God. So I'm so over that.
Yeah.
So over that.
Yeah. Now I totally forgot. I was ready to switch into a different gear, but I don't want to stop you.
Well, what do you guys think? I mean, I know you guys aren't like digging into all the conspiracy theories.
What I was going to say about Brad Locke is that
Greg Locke.
There's Denzel Washington. He had a good saying, which I was going to say, don't watch the news, because that's why I don't watch the news, right? But there's a flip side. So Denzel says, if you watch the news, you are misinformed. If you don't watch the news, then you are uninformed. And so it's like, how do you know?
Can I tell you?
Yeah, no, I want to know.
This is my secret.
All right.
I said it in one of our very first podcasts.
Don't tell me that it is one of the, what is the group? You know who I'm talking about. You have to know how to break code in order to understand what they're saying.
No. QAnon?
Yeah, QAnon.
No. It's not QAnon.
Okay.
No. take what MSNBC, ABC, NBC, and all their affiliates, mm-hmm. take what they say and turn 180 degrees from it.
Right.
And you'll find the truth.
Believe that.
So, you know, when they're leading you by the carrot to be propagandized, once you start to see it, you can go, okay, now I can look at Russia with a different perspective. When they're saying, you know, Russia's evil, you know, China's evil,
right.
and all these things. And who's the nation that's going through and drone bombing everybody and, you know, doing, we've been in an endless war, you know, over yeah. there. It's like,
or COVID.
We don't look too good. Like if you just took my American pride and my American roots here mm-hmm. and the love that I have for Americans and country, if you took me out of that and from a 30,000 view just assessed all of the nations of the world, I'd say our government is one of the most wicked.
I would not disagree. Mm-hmm. It's to back up what you're saying. COVID, the first thing that they did was praise China and say, we need to follow suit and do exactly what they're doing, you know?
Right.
I mean, and I that's one example I would think of. I didn't mean to interrupt you though. What do you think about it?
That's right. No, I mean, any kind of evil, any kind of showing of evil atrocities, that's definitely something as Christians we can get behind and say, like, that's obviously bad. That needs to be handled, right? In a good way, because, well, not in a good way, but in a authoritative way, I feel. Just because, you know, I feel like in a sense that this could be a test of the waters of, like, okay, what's the United States' response to this? Like you said, right, like the U.S., you know,
what's the U.S. aliens, sentiment?
Yeah.
You know, can we get enough outrage
right.
enough to actually go in and do some more nefarious things?
Yeah.
You know, and if we, I do think there's this invisible, like, what do you call it? It's like a speedometer, tachometer, whatever. And it's like when they can trace either the fear, the anger, the outrage, you know, like in 9/11, you know, then they can go in and pass the Patriot Act and we can go infiltrate mm-hmm. Iraq and go get, you know, go get this resurrection tomb of Gilgamesh and let's get just these other ancient artifacts.
Wait, did you just say Gilgamesh? Oh, forget about yeah. that. We're getting Hamas. Yeah. That's what we're going for. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean,
sounds like a Smurf's name.
So just being, I mean, supporting Israel in that sense that, you know, we're not going to take bad things happen to you on the basis that, like, if any other country was, you know, if this was happening in any other country, we would also be responding in the same way. I think there should be a demonstration of power and authority for sure. over
show
there.
Of force.
Yeah, show of force.
Well, I think that's the thing. Is I'm not trying to condone what Hamas has done. It's just there needs to be a swift and quick punishment of those perpetrators. And, you know, and it doesn't need to involve the U.S. military. It doesn't need to involve world governments. And it doesn't. But it will. It will. Yeah. Because that's the way that's the way that it plays out.
And that's the way Israel works, in a sense. You're talking about the, you know, a country the size of, what is it, like, Rhode Island or something? It's not even very big.
It's pretty small.
It's small.
Yeah. I don't know how big it would be. I know it's smaller than California.
Yeah. I mean, it's a blip surrounded by hostility, like, always. So, I mean, they rely on aid of sorts. And so, I mean, it's just how Israel exists, you know, in a sense.
Well, and to be totally honest, when you look at the way that the nation of Israel was formed, it was all instigated by essentially what we would call Illuminati. Like they created this coming out of the war And it's like, okay, that to me has red flags all over it. Okay, why are these people orchestrating? So you have to ask, okay, if that in fact was how the nation of Israel came to be, that it was orchestrated by essentially New World Order and secret societies and conspiracy, you know, conspiratorial organizations, that, you know, so it's an important chess piece to them, to whether it's, you know, to in my opinion, when you start looking at how they've orchestrated the basically the one world government system, the system of Babylon that they're trying to reform, it was all pre-scripted. All three world wars were pre-scripted, and you know, the third well, there's one yet to come, right? And so,
oh Jesus.
Yeah, right. And so all the third world war is it's gonna involve some craziness that they say, you know, is, I believe there's this whole alien, this quote unquote alien invasion, and
I'm,
you know, they've been talking about that.
So the Simpsons has done really well, coincidentally or non-coincidentally, predicting major events. And that massacre that happened, I forgot what it was called. Trump started it. It was like horrific. All the people dying. January 6th.
Oh, insurrection. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was horrific. I was like, gosh. What? What?
Okay. But
that was a Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Well, someone did get scratched, or no, there was someone that did die, right?
Yeah.
She jumped through a window or something.
She didn't even die. I'm pretty sure that was also.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you seen the video?
So the crazy part is the Simpsons put out an episode, and this was in like the 80s or 90s. It was early on.
Uh-huh.
And it shows Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
Or someone like that as president, and how it ends is an insurrection with a guy at the desk, and he has the horns and like a freaking, the tattoo is even accurate. I don't know if you've seen that.
Wow.
This is decades before it happened.
Yeah.
Not a lot of attention. But
you know
what?
Those are all, you know, Hollywood and the Simpsons, they're all connected to
absolutely.
You know, there. Secret societies, you know,
what is it?
It's my Leatherman, but it looks like a Freemasonic compass.
Yeah. Just flashed it at me.
But I mean, you know, they're all connected. The Masons are all connected into the agenda.
They know. They know what they're doing.
It's all pre-scripted.
So I only interrupted to bring up that I just saw a recent one, which was a new election for 2024.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I'm remembering this as I'm saying it was a 2024 election. And actually I have the clip right here. I'm gonna play it, and it's the Simpsons and their 2024 prediction on the election. And this came out I don't know how many years ago.
I am looking forward to an orderly election tomorrow, which will eliminate the need for a violent bloodbath.
two candidates. Spaceship crashes into the White House.
America, take a good look at your beloved candidates. They're nothing but hideous space reptiles.
Some aliens got exposed as candidates.
It's true. We are aliens. But what are you going to do about it? It's a two-party system. You have to vote for one of us.
He's right. He's right. Well, I believe I'll vote for a third party candidate.
Go ahead. Throw your vote away.
Ross Perot's in the background.
That's the clip. I mean, it just reminds me of exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't looked into it a lot, but I have, you know, heard all kinds of clips of people that are talking about it, Bill Cooper and all kinds of old school like whistleblowers are like, yeah, you know, the one thing that would unite the world is an alien invasion. And it was something that they've been planning and propagating and all the TV shows and all, you know, everything.
Ancient aliens.
Yeah. I mean, it's all there. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a time where Christians actually get to, their faith is going to be put to the test. Mm-hmm. Their faith is going to be put to the test because there's going to be so much deception, especially around these aliens. And I've heard that, you know, they're again, it's kind of that Hegelian dialectic, you know, they're going to propose solutions to problems that we don't have, like death, you know? And so, you know, the world is going to have, you know, we're going to have a choice to make, you know, and you're going to have to be able to see through the deception and to actually have that connection to God that allows you to hear what he's saying. Cause if you can't do that, I think you're really vulnerable. And I don't even feel like I'm there. But I'm trying to get there, you know, like I'm trying to tune my ears to have eyes to see, ears to hear, you know?
So if an alien were quote unquote exposed on TV, because I don't think it would be in person, right? Although it would be in person, most likely, just like the clip we saw in front of a crowd, but still on TV, would you believe it?
Would I believe it? Oh, I mean, I believe that there are cosmic beings that are demonic in nature that are finding ways to materialize in this in this first dimension, in this, you know, what the Bible calls earth, in this earth realm, not the heavenly realm. They're finding ways, whether it's through hijacked DNA incorporated into clone bodies, or if they're literally just building biological suits for habitation, you know.
So my theory on all this, and I'm pretty sure I've shared it on here before, but there was some general or someone in the army, and they were shown a spaceship, an alien ship. And they said, "What do you think?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, that's pretty crazy." And then they were told to go touch it. And they went to touch it, and it was a hologram, right? And so part of me thinks that all these UFOs, and I've been on UFOs for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I do think that there's evidence of non or extraterrestrial beings, but they're not the Martians that I would say. And I continue to say it's not Martians from Mars, but spiritual beings, right? Not of this realm.
Right, not of this realm. And, you know,
I do think that we will see this soon. People are already, they're already starting to condition people to accept the fact that we're not alone in this, quote unquote, in the universe, but they're not accurately describing who and what we're looking at. And I think if we see it on TV, I'm very curious, especially with all the CGI and facial technology and masks and everything. I think we're looking at won't be what is being told that they are, whether they're holograms or maybe they are really, you can touch them, right? And they're beings, but they're not from where they say they are, and their purpose and their intent is not what they say.
I think that the beings that are going to manifest themselves are living underground. I think and under the water, under the earth. We see, you know, we've seen a lot of documentation of UFOs just flying right in and out of water all the time, and you know, it's my opinion that, you know, they probably don't need to come up with a lot of like Project Bluebeam kind of images. You know, there's enough in the demonic realm that if they actually succeed, and I think CERN is one of the ways that they're trying to reach through dimensions, you know, that, you know, like we would live in the physical dimension, but there's a spiritual dimension. It's almost like they're trying to create a door or a portal, an opening between those two, because I think when we, you know, we do need to know our authority in Christ. If something like that does happen in this world, they're finding, you know, that one after another, these abductees that are giving their testimonies, that the ones that are saved were able to thwart off an abduction by these alien creatures by basically shout, you know, by saying the name of Jesus. And they were not able to collect them, you know. But if they didn't, it was like there was nothing, there was no authority hindering them from doing what they intended to do. But so, you know, this is just a microcosm of what I'm saying. People will need to know their authority in Christ and their identity in Christ, so that, you know, if we need to go slay giants in a almost literal way, we need to know that that we have God on our side, and we need to know how to use these, I'll call them these spiritual weapons, against the enemy. And it may even, like, it may come to complete manifestation in our physical realm. I don't know. I sound crazy, but there are a lot of Christians who have been looking into this return of the Nephilim, as in the days of Noah, right? It's a real, I'll call it a theory. It's a real theory that the Nephilim are going to come back, and they're going to come back when, you know, when they perceive that Babylon is ready to pierce the veil of heaven and to, you know, to basically storm the throne room of God. And
is that the firmament?
Could be. What if they're trying to develop a weapon to go through the firmament? Right. I mean,
they do point to stars, like ancient civilizations point to stars. And we're going to go advanced. So according to Flat Earth, stars are outside the firmament, right?
I believe that stars are in the firmament.
Okay.
So I believe they're not inside under the firmament. Mm. I believe they're in the firmament.
Got it.
So, I do wonder, though, if the other luminaries, the other planets, are not within the firmament. Maybe at its highest.
There are ancient civilizations that point to the stars in discussions with these extraterrestrials that they're interacting with, you know, according to their hieroglyphs, and they all point to different, you know, star systems and whatever it is. I'm just curious.
Dan Duvall, he said something today that was interesting in a podcast I was listening to. He said that he believes that space, like outer space, which we would place as beyond the firmament,
right,
not the throne room of God up there, but let's say, you know, space where the planets would be if they were potentially outside of the firmament, is traversed by the second level of heaven, which is, you know, there's three, at least biblically, there's three. There's the throne room of God, there's the second heaven, which is a spiritual realm, and then there's us, which is, you know, the physical realm. You got physical, spiritual, you got throne room. But in that second realm where the fallen angels were kicked out of heaven, right? They think that maybe space is a habitable place for these fallen entities.
Satan's a prince of the sky?
Yeah, they said prince of the power of the air. I don't know, you know, I don't know if I want to give Satan any qualifying title. I think that we have victory over him. Yeah. If you know, and then it's not just when we die, but I mean, like, I hate giving Satan the authority over he's the prince of the power of the air, because it says in the Bible and in the book of Enoch, I think, gosh, it might be Enoch, where it talks about Michael throwing Satan out of the second heaven, throwing him to the ground, right? Mm. And so, you know, it's like, and I believe it, he went into the water. So it's like, if there's any elemental that I think Satan might have in his favor, it's the oceans. I don't, you know, I'm just theorizing, but I don't even like to say that he is the God of this world, which I hear Christians saying all the time. If he is the God of this world, then, you know, we have no victory over Satan, unless we die, unless we leave this world. But, you know, it says that, you know, even in the Beatitudes, you know, it says, blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Like, the earth is ours. It was created for us, not for demons, not for fallen angels. And I think that what's happened is Satan has convinced man that he is king. And what he's done it through agreement. So, you know, when we submit and we give him that Satan is God of this world, then it's true that you don't have it. But I don't want to give Satan any of those titles, because I don't believe him.
I think what you're saying.
In any of the Gospels or any of the New Testament writings, is Satan ever referred to as God of this?
You know, the one thing people point to all the time, and it drives me nuts because I don't think it's that convincing, is when Jesus went into the wilderness and Satan offered him all the nations of the world, he didn't rebuke him for saying that. Because he didn't rebuke him from saying that, it's assumed that he did have control over all the nations of the world.
It says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is God of the world, God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So he's referred to there, but
yeah, and God is Elohim. Is it Elohim?
G. I didn't look into but I would assume that that's exactly what it is. Spiritual ruler of this world. I mean, I would say, know your enemy.
Like the worldly mindset.
One thing I will say,
not God like the God that has authority, God, but he is like the. Right. I guess spiritual.
He's a principality.
Rule. Yes.
He's a principality who does have territory.
He hasn't, but he's not a victor of this world and not a true conqueror.
He basically is a squatter.
Yeah.
He's a squatter in an unclaimed land. The problem is, as like Christians,
Gavin Newsom, you call him he's not incompetent. He is, well, when they rule themselves like invalid, or it's a word like that, like, yeah, he's an invalid ruler.
I can't remember where you're going. I know where you're going with it, but yeah. But basically it's like he's a squatter,
right?
He doesn't own the property, but he has some legal rights to it because he's living there. It's called, it's like squatter's rights. It's kind of interesting, but the point is that they can be evicted. The point is that he actually doesn't own this world. He never did. But man has given him that by through agreement. Like, yeah, come into our land. You know, we're not going to resist you. We're not going to cast you out in the name of Jesus. You know, we are going to assume that all of these things that you're bringing into this land, whether it's, you know, just the depravity, sickness, cancers, and, you know, all of the things that, you know, that I believe he brings over a territory, a region, you know, you can run them out. you could, it's territorial warfare. There are people that have written books and, you know, talking about, you know, they call it spiritual mapping, where they go through and they map a territory and they find out what entities, what principalities are over these regions, and they do spiritual warfare when they have the mandate back from God to go into an area and to, you know, basically reclaim.
It was illegitimate. That's
there we go. Saying.
Illegitimate or usurper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you can give Satan that power and say, you know, oh, you know, I can't do anything about, you know, what I'm being victimized by because, you know, Satan's the god of this world. While at the same time, you know, there's this idea, and it's a paradigm shift for me where I have to understand that God is not in control. He's not in control in the way that we want. And it's not a limitation of his power. It's not that he couldn't, you know, gain control. It's that he's not willing to break the rules that he gave man free will to do his will. So he's not going to interfere with either a wicked man or a righteous man and their will. I think what God wants, and this is what Christ taught his disciples to pray, God wants to bring his kingdom to this world through man and their submission to, you know, living out the will of God here on earth as in heaven. And when we do that, Satan has no power. He has no authority. So, but God's not just going to come in with his lightning rod in his hand and just said, it's my way or the highway. You know, that's not how he rules in love. And he wants man to follow him and to live righteously by his own choices to honor and live out with God. So, you know, that's why we have evil in this world. That's why we have disease and sickness. It's not because, you know, God is in control. It's because man has brought these things. And, you know, we could talk about how all those things have infected every facet of our life, whether it's, you know, medical, education, whether it's the banking system or the military industrial complex or the political structures. It's like pharmacy, every facet of our world has been hijacked, and the psychopaths of the world are ruling it, because good people that are salty of people, they just want to raise their families. They want to live. They want to, enjoy the life that God gave them. And meanwhile, you have wicked people who are aspiring for power, and they, you know, they're the ones who are always ruling the world. But when we figure out the low level plebs like us, you know, when we figure out what our authority is in Christ and how we are to take back, you know, I think that God is trying to orchestrate that. Like, he's patiently waiting for man to align with heaven. Because, you know, like we know, the Bible says that we dwell in heavenly places. What is that? What is heavenly places? That's dimensionally above. That is in third heaven. Right. You know, that's not in the demonic realm. But that component of who we are, seated with Christ, is not making connection with our soul and our physical body. But it can. I'm saying, you know, you can spiritually connect with God, find out what his wills and mandates for you, what he has assigned for you to do before you were born. And then, you know, you align with heaven and you make that happen here on earth. you live out your squirrel. You don't mandate that, hey, you can't live a gay lifestyle. No, I'm legislating this out of our rule books. It's no, no, no. We bring the kingdom of God, not through political power, not through big pharma, not through military strength. We bring it through, you know, walking out our mandates and knowing our authority, that when evil confronts us or our families, we can stand and kick him out and mm-hmm. protect our family from what he's trying to bring to it.
That's good, man. I would note when you were talking about gay lifestyles that you pointed out Mikkel.
What do we translate?
Good, that's good. I think that's probably a good spot to end it then.
Yeah, man. I mean, nobody has anything else, right? I mean, we talked about maybe talking about something else.
We got to the firmament, so I'm happy.
We did. Okay. Did we exhaust what you were hoping to discuss there?
Yeah, I mean, just to discuss the firmament.
Hey, man, you know what? The best way to study the firmament is to open your Bible and get out a Strong's Concordance and get out an early Webster's, you know, dictionary. You'll be blown away. You'll be blown away what the firmament is. And then, you know, chase that word through everywhere it's written in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you'll come out and you'll be like, dang, the earth is flat. And there's a firmament.
I think so. Boy, you guys have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
God bless.
See ya.